running over. Oh, come on and say amen. You know, I love to see those people that when you see them, they make you smile. They talk, they make you laugh. When they laugh, you just start laughing. Oh, come on and say amen here. See, when the devil try to do something, you need to just get your tickle box front over and say, I got joy. I know you lied on me, devil, but I got joy. I know you talked about me, liar, but I got joy. I know you want me to be sick and depressed, but I got joy. Anybody got joy? Say yeah. Say yeah. I got joy. Joy unspeakable. This kind of joy you can't buy it at Walmart. This kind of joy you can't win it at the boat. You gotta be given to you by the Lord. Somebody say yes. Say yes. Jesus said, this joy I give. He said, I'm giving it so your joy remains and that your joy be full. He said, I don't want you ever to be void of having this joy, because the joy of the Lord will be your strength. I don't feel strong, Pastor. I feel like...
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
I want to call your attention to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I want to get through as much of it as I possibly can, but I want to begin at verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And it says, beginning at verse 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. I want to stop right there. For just a little while, I want to talk from the subject, living for God isn't easy, but it's right. You may be seated. Living for God isn't easy, but it's right. I want you to encourage your neighbor this morning, because you don't know what he or she is going through. Look at him and say, neighbor, living for God isn't easy, but it's right. Now, if you really believe it, come on, give God some praise, because I believe just that is enough to encourage somebody who's going through some things or who have some things going through them. Look at what he says. Therefore, seeing. Now, we don't need to get past this second word without understanding that we have a participatory part in understanding what Paul is saying to the church of Corinth, to the church of Christ, to the believers, to you, to me. Therefore, seeing. What are we seeing, Paul? We have this ministry. We have this ministry as we have received what? As we have received mercy, here's what he wants to know. That's the reason we haven't fainted. If you're going to do effective ministry, you're going to need some mercy. Somebody's not hearing me today. I said, if you're going to do effective ministry, you're going to need mercy. He says, I want to make it clear, seeing we have this ministry, what we have been given, we've not been given because we're so good. We've not been given because we are all of that. We've been given because we've been chosen to do what we do. And because we've been chosen, it's not us, but rather what's in us that God has chosen to place in us. And as a result, whatever we need for the journey, whatever we need to complete the mission, he has equipped us with enough mercy so that the mission will be successful. So I think it's important for us to understand. He says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Listen, not walking in craftiness, nor having the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the fruits commending. The truth, rather, commending. Listen, the fruit of the truth is the word of God being demonstrated in the lives where what is being spoken becomes a reality. In other words, what we say, we then see. The fruit of truth should be produced so that the works look like the word and the word look like the works. It's one thing to say I'm this and don't have no proof of it. But it's another thing to say I'm this and there's all the proof you need to back it up. Some of us claim we're witnesses, but that would not be if we were put in a court of law and had to testify. Many of us would not even have enough evidence to make sure that our testimony would go through. We would be indicted for not being what we say we are as witnesses of the King. And so it's important to understand while he's making all of this clear, the believer has got to understand where they are. They've got to understand who they are. They've got to understand what they are in order to do a ministry that's worth being done. Look again at what it says. Now, when he talks about having this ministry and walking into not in craftiness, there were a whole lot of false prophets. There were a whole lot of naysayers. There were a whole lot of religious folk, but not righteous folk. And they handled the word deceitfully, craftily. They handled the word so that the word brought about what they wanted to produce from the word. You see, one of the interesting things about the word is the word itself, if you take the whole word, will explain itself by the Spirit of truth. In other words, if you let the word be the word, the Spirit of the living God will take that word and give to you knowledge. From that knowledge, bring to you revelation. The revelation that you get from the knowledge is so that we will understand more clearly the mystery and the plan of God for man. When we understand this, it is to better man, not benefit from man. And many have been taking the word not to better man, but to benefit from man. In other words, they'd make the word say what they wanted to say, eisegesis, putting in it what it didn't say, or taking surfacely a meaning and adding to it what it was. You know how you can pick up the word, take it out of context, you know, and say the word says this. Yes, the word says that, but did the word mean that? And so when you don't understand how to put the word in its proper context and to delve the meaning from the text and the context, it then gives you all the supporting roles to understanding the word the way that it should be. When you just add what you think it says, what you feel it says, what you heard it says, and other influences from without, it does not give the true integrity of the word. Thus, it does not allow the word to do what God designed the word to do. Listen, God is not under warrant to do what you say about the word. He's under warrant to do what he said about the word. That's why we've got to know what the word says. That's why we have got to study to show ourselves. Too many of us depend too much on the teacher and the preacher to give us the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Listen, do you know what it all comes down? Yes, they're accountable. Yes, they're responsible. But can I tell you, you are as well. There was a group of people called the Bereans. When they heard the word, the Bible says, they checked the word out daily to see if those things they were being taught and preached were so. Why? Because too many of us have lived lives that sound good. Many of us have lived a lot of the religious cliches that sounded good, but had no biblical foundation or stability behind it. And so, as a result of that, they have based promises on what God has not promised, or on truths that were taken out of context. He's saying, we have not dealt this way with the word of God or with the people of God. We have commended ourselves to every man's consciousness. You see, when you become so serious about the word that you want to make sure that you do what you're supposed to do the way you're supposed to do it, because not only in the consciousness of man are you accountable, but you're also doing this in the sight of God. Yes. Look at what verse 3 says. But if our, what? Gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Listen, there are some people who believe not. Yeah, it's in the Bible. Yeah, God has said it, but they still don't believe it. And all of them are not in the world. Some of y'all are going to catch that on your way home. Some of them sit right on the pews next to you. Could even be you. You don't understand that if God said it, that whether you believe it or not, that settles it. Because all of the power and all of the force of that reality coming to pass is on God's side. His word is said, is spoken, is declared, and his power performs it. His zeal brings it to pass. Listen, the only reason why he lets or allows you to believe it is so that you can join in the blessing. But if you choose not to get the blessing, then you're sure gonna learn the lesson. And the lesson is, if you don't believe God, you won't be blessed of God. But God's still going to do what he said he's going to do. And so as a result of that, you'll begin to understand that you don't want to be in that believing not crowd, because they miss out on the blessings of God. It says, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Then he goes on to say, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. For we preach not ourselves. Now this is one of the things that we also want to make sure that we understand as preachers, ministers, as sharers of the gospel, that you don't put yourself above Jesus. That you don't have a self-promoting gospel. Because I've got news for you. If you just hold him up high enough, if you just let the light shine bright enough, you will share in the glory as he is glorified, as one who lifts him up and gives men the opportunity to see the light of the world. Sooner or later, when they see the light, they're going to see who's shining the light. You ain't got to brag on yourself. The Lord will do it for you if you do a good enough job. If you do what he said do, God will bring your name up. You remember when Satan came to church and he was looking for somebody to mess over, somebody who was really a formidable foe? God said to him, have you considered my servant Job? Listen and brag that there's none like him in all the earth. Man, when God starts talking about you like that, you're somebody. When he bread, listen, look at what Satan said. Yeah, I know Job. But I also know you got a hedge around Job. Now, why would God have a hedge around Job if Job wasn't special to God? And Job became special to God because God was special to Job. Are y'all hearing me here? When you make God special to you, then you become special to God. When you do what thus saith the Lord will keep his hand upon you and protect you from all evil. And if he allows you to go through a test, it's only so he can reveal his best. Every test I go through, it is for me, and I got to keep that in mind when the devil starts messing with my mind, that all God is trying to do is reveal the best in me. And the best has to come through a test. Oh, you want to have all of the glory of being a good Christian, a strong believer, and all of that, but you don't want to go through nothing to be proven that. Well, it's easy for us to talk the talk. It's a whole nother thing to walk the walk. And it's in the walking of the walk that God receives the glory and you receive the good. Now look at this, my brothers and sisters, because as we walk through this word, look at verse 6. It says, for God who commended the light to shine out of darkness. Now look, when I read this, I got excited. Most of us take a light and shine into darkness. But God commended the light to shine out of the darkness. Now, I know that still hadn't resonated with some of you, but let me just take my time and walk through that part again. Because you're going to understand how that also relates to you. Listen, in every one of us, just like the beginning of creation, we were filled with sin and with darkness. Just like the beginning of creation, we were without void, or we were void and without form and shapeless, etc. But listen, it wasn't until God spoke, it wasn't until God decreed, it wasn't until God commended what he wanted to happen in us to happen, that it happened. In spite of who we were, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we get it together. That means we were in darkness. And right in the midst of darkness, he told the light, shine. I want you to hear me here. Because when the devil try to make you think you ain't all of that, you got to say, you're right, but he is. And because he is, and he's on the inside of me, he can make light shine out of this darkness. That's why you don't have to be perfect for God to use you. You just got to be used by a perfect God. When the devil try to show you that you're not all this and you're not that and you don't have this and you don't have that, you say, but he commended the light. And the light has got to shine even if it comes out of darkness. Listen, the commending of the light, listen, was in spite of the darkness. I said the commending of the light was in spite of the darkness. And so when you begin to realize, wait a minute, God can use me in spite of me for his glory. I ain't all I'm gonna be yet, but right now he can still call for the light out of darkness. Listen, when you begin to look at this word and understand how God does it, and that amazes me, because you know yourself in this flesh. You got issues. Whatever the issues are, they are issues. And they're issues that don't belong to saints, but to sinners. And yet, you become convicted sometime your own self that God would even use you. It might be because your mouth say what it wants to say. It don't always speak holy words. It just might be when you come to yourself. Because when you let yourself go, anything could come up out of you. And if you forget yourself sitting right here, you're liable to say anything. Am I talking to anybody? How's anybody know what I'm talking about here? It could be with your mind, the thoughts you think. It could be with your eyes, the way you look. It could be with your hands, putting it on stuff that don't belong to you. Borrowing and not giving back. I mean, it could be all kind of stuff. But whatever your issues are, in spite of that, God can show you that when he calls forth the light to shine, it has the power to do so out of, in spite of, darkness. But listen to this. Let me just go on to verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure who in earthen vessels. I like the transitional word, but. Because what he's saying is, listen, though we're trying to be all we ought to be, trying to do all that we ought to do, we're trying to work in good conscience and be everything. Listen, in spite of the fact that we fall short, in spite of the fact that we are not yet perfect, yet God himself chose to look beyond our faults. But listen again, he makes this clear. We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. And my brothers and sisters, I mean, there's so many things I can say about both about the treasure and about the vessels. But suffice it to say this, that when the treasure is worthy of being treasured, it has to be placed in a vessel that can contain it. Because sometimes the vessel, if it is not right, can cause the treasure to to go bad. If you're storing food and you don't put it in the right container, the container, listen, sometime the container itself, depending on what treasure it is or what contents being put in there, can compromise the interior of the vessel and cause there to be a mingling of the properties of both the treasure and the vessel, so much so it becomes contaminated. And you can't use the treasure no more because the vessel done messed it up. Are y'all hearing me here? So you got to make sure that the vessel is appropriately matched so that there are no compositional differences that will compromise the integrity of both. In other words, the vessel has got to be what the vessel is and cannot vacillate from one thing to the next so that it doesn't compromise what the treasure is. So like the treasure went in, whenever it's pulled out, it'll look like it was when it was stored. I wish I had somebody in the house. And so God wants us to know that we have this, Paul speaks, this treasure in earthen vessels. Now that's enough to shout on right there. That he would trust us enough to put this treasure on the inside of us and to trust us with being able to handle this situation. Look again at what he says. He says, vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That the excellency, listen, when God, you know what, that's amazing right there. How God takes something that is excellent and puts it in something that is less than excellent to demonstrate that his power, listen, can change the vessel rather than the vessel changing the treasure. And when you know anything, the change is for the better because it shows the power of God to keep something that is that precious, that powerful, that pure in an unclean vessel. It becomes all that it is, listen, because of the reality of the treasure. The treasure. Listen to this, my brothers and sisters. And then it says in verse 8, we are troubled where? On every, I like this part because this is where he started telling you, listen, serving God ain't no easy thing, but it's the right thing. It's the best thing. He's making clear, just in case you think it looks like we're under a limelight, the truth of the matter is we're under a spotlight. And the reason why you see us so good is because everything we do is under a magnifying glass. And the enemy takes every little thing. That's why you've got to learn to walk circumspect. Because somebody's watching you. You may not even have no idea that somebody's watching you. But somebody is watching. Look at what he says. We are what? Troubled on every side.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard.